It's now time for worship with the Family Circle of Souls Harbor. We invite you, your family, and your friends in this next hour to worship with Pastor Rick Libby and the Souls Harbor Singers as they lead you in the songs of the church and in the sharing of God's Word.
For all of the problems of life, the answer is Christ.
Good morning, friends. What a wonderful opportunity we have been given today to gather together in this Sunday morning Souls Harbor worship service that we might worship the Lord together. Oh, friend, today, when you begin to think about the good things God has done for us, it will take more than the hour that we have been allotted this morning to talk about it, to fully tell the story of what a loving Savior has done for His children. To help us with that, Sue Ellen Deera and Nyla Carmichael are coming to tell the story about when they met the Master. Oh, friend, the things that have changed because we met Jesus. Listen to the words of this song. Let them bless your heart and let them encourage you to give God worship and praise as we tell the story. They're coming to sing, Then I Met the Master.
Like a babe when it cries for its mother, like a child I was helpless alone, then I met the Master. Now I am one of His own. For all things were changed when He found me.
Changed when He found
Whenever I hear that song sung, it's easy for me to get a picture of myself. I was so much of what that song is talking about. And yet, I can stand here today and tell you that when I met the Master, all things were changed. One of the best parts of meeting the Master is that it introduces into our lives someone to care. God cares about you and I today. He cares at a level that we will never be able to understand. Many times when we're looking for a reason to care, we determine whether that person is qualified or not for the care we're going to give them. But that's not the way God works. God looks at us and immediately cares for us. He doesn't need a long list of reasons why He should or why He shouldn't. He just cares for us. He does that because He loves us. There's a song that Bunny Purge is coming to sing that I'd like for you to listen to the lyrics to, because I think you can also see yourself in the words that she's about to share with us. She's coming to sing a great old song that says, "Someone to Care."
When the world seems cold and your friends seem few, there is someone who cares for you. Oh, when there's tears in your eyes and your heart bleeds inside, there is someone who cares for you. Someone to care, someone to share all your troubles like no other can do. He'll come down from the skies and brush the tears from your eyes. You're His child and He cares for you. Your disappointments come and you feel so blue, there is someone who cares for you. Oh, when you need a friend until the end, oh, there is someone who's a friend to you. Oh, someone to care, someone to share all your troubles like no other can do. Oh, he'll come down from the sky and brush the tears from your eyes. You're His child and He cares for you. Oh, there's someone to care, someone to share all your troubles like no other can do. Oh, he'll come down from the skies and brush the tears from your eyes. Oh, you're His child and He cares for you. Oh, you're His child and He cares for you.
Without a doubt today, the greatest need that man will ever have is to know that there is someone to care. Now, that is a need that is common to all man. No matter who you are, whatever your station in life may be, you may be a powerful individual surrounded by people who are tending to your every need, but at times you're going to need, beyond the shadow of a doubt, to know that there is someone who genuinely cares about you. I want to tell you today, there's nobody that cares more about you than God Himself. He demonstrates that care on a daily basis by reaching out and helping you with little things and big things. What have you done lately to share that care that God has poured out upon your life with somebody around you that may have need to know that He cares? Today, we ought to be the hand of God extended so that people can know the love, the grace, and the mercy of God through what is demonstrated in our lives towards others. You'll hear a little bit of what I'm trying to say in the song that Pastor Mark and Mary Carter are coming to sing. The song is entitled, "Let Me Touch Jesus." That's true of our lives today. As far as an individual is concerned, we need to reach out and touch Him. But don't stop there. Don't get His touch and then be satisfied. Receive His touch and then reach out to somebody with that touch so that they can experience Him as well. Listen to the words of this song as the Carters come and help us today.
Let me touch Him. Let me touch Jesus. Let me touch Him as He passes by. Then when I shall reach out to others, they shall know Him, they shall live and not die. Oh, to be His hand extended, reaching out to me, oh, praise. Let me touch Him. Let me touch Jesus, so that others may know and be blessed. I was straying so far from Jesus. I was lonely, had no peace within. Then the hand of my Savior touched me. Now I'm reaching to others in sin. Oh, to be His hand extended, reaching out to thee, oh, praise. Let me touch Him, let me touch Jesus, so that others may know. Oh, to be His hand extended, reaching out to thee, oh, praise. Let me touch Him, let me touch Jesus, so that others may know.
I believe this would be a good time for us to go to the Lord in prayer today. It amazes me how that in a world with 7 billion people on it, that there are people today that feel like they're all alone. It's not so much the people surrounding you as the atmosphere that surrounds you. That's how you can be in a crowded room and still feel like that you're the only one there. The things that happen to us at times, the circumstances and situations we find ourselves in, can make us feel like that though there are people all around us, that we're having to deal with those things all by ourselves. Maybe that's one of the reasons why Peter wrote that we could cast all of our cares upon Him, meaning God, because God cares for us. I know I quote that verse a lot, but I happen to be one of those that has found myself surrounded by people at times and still feeling like there was no one that truly did care. Oh, they were there. They talked to me. They did different things. But it just didn't seem like it was enough. That all that they did was an empty, vain act. And yet, there have been times when I have been all by myself and still felt surrounded by the love, the grace, and the mercy of God. And somehow that was enough. It gave me the strength and courage to go on. Today I'm going to ask God to help you. I don't know what situation you may be in, but I do know this, that God is the one that is going to help you. He's the one that's going to make the difference. If you can have just one touch from His hand, it'll be all that you have need of. And so today I'm going to ask God to demonstrate His love and care for your life by reaching out to you and touching you one more time. But here's something you can do for yourself. Don't wait for me to pray. You pray there where you are, and you'll discover that right there where you are, you will find yourself in the midst of God's sweet presence. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, nobody today knows how we need You more than You do. Lord, You see the emptiness, the helplessness of our lives. Even though there may be people all about us, we today need You above all of that crowd. And so today I pray that You would reach through the stuff, those things that are clouding our vision, clouding our mind, the clamor of those things that we hear in our ear, silence them that we might be able to hear the still small voice that speaks to us the words that we really truly do need to hear. I pray that You will touch each and every life that needs You today, that in Your touch You will deliver to them Your love, grace, and mercy, that it would truly make the difference on their behalf. I put them in Your hands today, for Lord, I know You will not fail them. Touch them now, I ask. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I see my brother stumble and all of his dreams crumble. Let me be there, for I too fail. And when I see his heart breaking from a wrong turn he is taking, let me be there, for I remember well. I wanna spend my life mending broken people. I wanna spend my whole life when I see a life that's broken, Lord, give me words that should be spoken. For I well remember the pain. And when I see teardrops falling, Lord, remind me of my calling. Help me restore their faith again. I want to spend my life mending broken people. I want to spend my life removing pain. Lord, let my word spend my whole life mending broken people.
In our world today, there are a lot of broken people. Too many to count at times, it would seem. In fact, I may be speaking through this television ministry today to some folk that feel like that they are in the number of broken people that we are reaching out to. The thing that has caused the brokenness may be very specific and different to each one of us. But if you were to put it all into a category, it's my opinion from all the years of my pastoral experience that the majority of times the thing that has caused the brokenness in our lives is a storm that we have had to pass through. Those storms are terrible times of testing for us. They are things that can take our strength away and leave us weak and vulnerable. We find ourselves going through something that we are ill-prepared to deal with. I'm glad today that there is a source of help that the storm can't silence, can't somehow cancel out. I'm glad that there is a power that can rise above the storm to keep us safe until the storm passes by. Today, it may be in the midst of the storm that you're going through, you need to echo the words of this song that Ken and Annette McDonald are coming to sing, where it says, "Keep me safe till the storm passes by." Now, that's a prayer I believe God would be glad to answer for us, to keep us while we are in the midst of the storm until the storm is over. Let the words of this song encourage you as the McDonald's come and sing it for us today.
In the dark of the midnight have I oft hid my face while the storm howls above. And there's no hiding place in the crash of the thunder. Precious Lord, hear my cry. Keep me safe till the storm passes by.
storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky.
One of the things that I've learned in my lifetime about storms is that you can begin to predict a storm is coming by looking at the horizon. It seems like the clouds begin to roll in, the skies darken, and the threat is ominous because we see something in that spells out to us that danger is coming. We can't always predict the severity of the storm, but one of the things that happens to us many times, if we get to thinking about it, is that we will convince ourselves that in the storm, we can easily become lost. Well, I want to tell you today that there is someone who has the ability to see through the dark clouds and the darkness of life's fiercest storms. He never loses sight of us. In fact, the Bible tells us that His eye is on the sparrow. Friend, no matter what's going on in your life today, God has the ability to see you in the midst of what you're going through. He sees you where you're at and what's happening to you. He sees the threat to your life. And I believe today, because of it, He comes to our rescue. Listen to this song that Beth Grimmel is coming to sing. It's simply entitled, His Eye is on the Sparrow.
should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home when Jesus is my portion, my constant friend is He.
In my mind and in my heart today, I am thoroughly convinced that God has arranged this service to help some folk that were in very difficult condition. The things of life that have come your way seem to have brought you low, and God is using this service today to reach down and pick you up. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that God looks upon our lives and sees what we need and knows how to get what we need to us. Today, I believe that's what God is using this service to do. He's bringing something to some people's lives that you weren't finding anywhere else. And yet, through the singing of the songs and the spoken word, you have felt the presence of God right there where you are. Today, as we pause in this service to talk to you about the needs of the Souls Harbor Ministry, I want to very quickly encourage you to be in prayer for our future. It just seems like things are starting to pile up. We're facing a lot of issues on a number of different fronts. I don't think folk really understand what it takes for us to be here to do what we're doing. Someone said to me the other day, "Pastor Rick, if the expenses are that bad, why don't you charge more for the program that you're selling?" Well, that individual is under the impression that this program today is brought to you much like other programs are brought to you on the network that you're watching them on. You see, in that scenario, produce a program, they put it out on the marketplace, and hopefully a network or a television station will buy the rights to that program, and that program makes its income by selling itself to a television station or network. That's not the case with Souls Harbor. We're not being paid to air this program. We don't sell it. In fact, we negotiate with networks and television stations, agreeing to pay a price for the airtime so that we can air this worship service that you're watching today. That's why this gets expensive. We have to take care of all the administration costs, all of the production costs, any cost associated with this ministry from within, and then trust that God will somehow supply what we have need of so that we can continue to do this. Now, I'm glad I can tell you today that since 1970, God has never failed us. I don't believe God's going to fail us now, because I see more of a need for the Souls Harbor ministry today than at any other time in its history. And yet the challenges are there. They're growing greater every day. We're coming up against a philosophy of television stations where they don't want to air religious programming anymore. And if this station you're watching today ever develops that idea and changes their way of thinking, then it won't matter how much the airtime is, we won't be able to purchase it. So help us today to do all that we can in these last days to promote the message of the gospel. If you'd like to help us, please contact us through some of the information that I'm about to give you. In the U.S., you would write to Souls Harbor, Post Office Box 275, Corinth, Maine, 04427. If you'd like to make a contribution by Visa, MasterCard, or Discover Card, please call our U.S. office at 207-285-3131. You can also take advantage of making a contribution online. Just visit our website, www.soulsharbor.tv. Just click on the donate button at the lower left-hand corner of that webpage, and it'll take you to what you've got to do to get a contribution directly to us. For our friends in Canada, please write to our Canadian office at Souls Harbor, Post Office Box 611, Centerville, New Brunswick, E7K3H5. In Canada, to make a contribution by Visa, MasterCard, or Discover Card, please call our Canadian office at 506-276-3551. Thank you so much for your help towards continuing the Souls Harbor ministry into the future. I'd like to believe that God will help us to stay right here until the day that the golden trump of God sounds and He calls the church home. We don't know how long we have, so it really is in our heart today to do everything we can to make everything that we do count. We know that there are souls that still are outside the safety of God's kingdom. If God were to come today, they would be lost forever. That's why we are willing to accept the challenges of airing this Souls Harbor worship service, because every week our prayer is, God, reach somebody that may not be ready to meet you today. Through whatever efforts we put forward, may they come to know you and accept you as their Savior. I think one of the places that the church is missing it in these last days is that we're not carrying a great enough burden for the lost souls of this world. Yes, time is short. Everything that we look at around us tells us that something big is about to happen. And friend, that something is the coming of the Lord. Listen to the words of this song that Wanda St. Peter is coming to share with us. And see if you can say to yourselves, oh, I'm not guilty. Or maybe you would say to yourselves, oh, I need to do more because I'm not doing enough. She's coming to sing, My House is Full.
There is peace and contentment in the Father's house today. Lots of food on the table and no one is turned away. There is singing and laughter as the hours pass by. But a hush comes the singing as the Father sadly cries. Push away from the table, look out through the window pane. Just beyond the house of plenty lies a field of golden grain. For it's ripe unto harvest, but the reapers, where are they? They're in the house. Oh, can't the children hear the Father sadly say, My house is full, but my field is empty. Who will go and work for me today? It seems my children all want to stay around my table. No one wants to work in my fields. No one wants to work in my fields. My house is full, but my fields are empty. Who will go and work for me today? Oh, it seems my children all want to stay around my table. No one wants to work in my fields. No one wants to work in my fields. My house is full.
I realize today that we have but just a few moments left. The songs ran a little long, and well, to be honest with you, I talked a lot more than I perhaps should have. But I do want to take advantage of the few moments that we do have to share something with you that God has laid upon my heart. I feel like that it's going to be one of the more important messages that I will share with you in this year. You see, I believe today that God is speaking to the church to wake up and get to work. I think we've sat back and rested too long. I think that there are too many lives that are paying the price for our lukewarmness. I know that's offensive to some people to hear, but when we study the book of Revelation, we realize that there are going to be two church ages present at the coming of the Lord. There is going to be that Philadelphia church, which is the church of, that's perfect. It's the church of great love. And then there's that Laodicean church, which is a church that has become lukewarm. In fact, it's sometimes referred to as the lazy church. Well, I don't want to be that kind of a church person. I want to be the kind of church person that is filled with the presence of God on a mission to reach the world with the message of the gospel. There is a passage of scripture that I know I've preached so many sermons from that some folk are probably going to say, please, not again. But this passage of Scripture is the best that I know of telling the story in a very few short words. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 29, one verse of Scripture, verse 18. In Proverbs 29:18, it simply says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." Now, we could go on to read the rest of that, that says, "But he that keepeth the law, happy is he." But the gist of what I'm going to share with you today is in the first half of that passage of Scripture. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Now, I have shared with you in the past that the latter part of that verse, where it says the people perish, is literally translated as the people cast off restraint. Back here a little while ago, in studying this passage of Scripture again, I focused on the first part of that passage that says, where there is no vision. The word vision would seem to be speaking about sight, where there is no sight, where there is no ability to see. And we could talk about that, but when I dug into it, I found out that what that passage is really saying is where there is no vision, or literally, where there is no sense of responsibility, the people perish, or the people cast off restraint. Either way you look at it, it doesn't spell very good news. Where there is no sense of responsibility, the people cast off restraint. Now, I would love to talk about the results of that, the tragedy of people having lost their sense of responsibility and casting off the restraint, because I believe we could begin to paint a picture of the world that we live in today. I believe the environment that we live in, and I'm not talking about the environment meaning nature, I mean the cultural environment, the environment of society that we live in today, I believe what we have is the result of people having lost a sense of responsibility, casting off restraint, in other words, not caring what the results would be, and now we are dealing with the fallout or the aftermath of that kind of a lifestyle, that kind of a people. Today, we cannot afford to lose a sense of responsibility. We've already lost too much. To lose any more might mean a point of no return for us. But if we could recapture a sense of responsibility, if we could recapture a sense of vision, we might be able to gain back some of that we have lost. Let me very quickly just touch on three different areas that I believe that we have lost a sense of responsibility. First of all, I believe we have lost a sense of responsibility to God. God told us in Matthew chapter 22 that the greatest commandment was to love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart and with all of thy soul and with all of thy mind. When we lose a sense of responsibility to God, you can never end right. It's going to end badly every time. Because if there's anything that ought to guide us in our life, anything that ought to guide us in our world today, it is having a sense of responsibility, first of all, to God. not just to obey His word, but to love God with everything that's within us. Now, I'd like to stop and talk about that for a little while longer, but I also believe there is a loss of responsibility or sense of responsibility to the church. When Jesus pronounced that upon this rock I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, I know that Jesus was saying, I'm going to stand and empower the church so that hell itself cannot overcome it, cannot overpower it. But let's face it today, the church is only as strong as the people who make up the church. While I don't have time to elaborate on this, let's suffice it to say that if we, the people, are not willing to be filled with the power of God, then we cannot be a church that can push back the gates of hell. Rather, we will become a church that the gates of hell will prevail against it because we do not have the one thing that will keep the gates of hell from destroying us. We need to, again, bear a responsibility to the church, empowering the church by putting ourselves in a place or a position where God can fill us full of His power. He said that the Holy Spirit came upon us that we would be filled with power. We need to be a church full of power today. The third thing that I think we've lost a sense of responsibility towards is we have lost a sense of responsibility towards the world. While the world may be the source of our sorrows and our sadness, it may not be the world that we want it to be in helping us and making us glad and happy and a carefree lifestyle. We bear a responsibility to the world to share the gospel with each and every man, woman, boy, and girl. If we fail to do that and fulfill the Great Commission, we will create a world that truly will be lost, maybe lost for all of eternity. I have to stop today right here, but I want to leave you with a word of prayer and ask God to give us back a vision to see the things that must be seen before it's too late. Heavenly Father, right now, open our eyes. Anoint our eyes with an eye salve that we might see. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
I look and see. I see the gold and riches, the hoarding mob for selfish gain, the toil of hands, they're toiling for ease and comfort. I look again and see the falling golden grain. It's harvest time. Church, it's harvest time. Oh, yes, Jesus is calling. Precious grain is falling. Oh, do not wait. Don't wait. It's growing late. Behold, the fields are white. It is harvest time. Do not wait. Precious souls are dying. Awake, arise. There's so much work to do. Work while it's day, for the night is sure. coming. Behold, the fields are white, and it is harvest time. Church, it's harvest time. It is harvest time. Oh, yes, Jesus is calling. Precious grain is falling. Oh, do not wait. Don't wait. It's growing late. Behold, the fields are white, and it is harvest time. Oh, do not wait. It's growing late. Behold, the fields are white. It is harvest time.
I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wide seas no more.